Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, broadcasting live this week from WLRN in Miami. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're here in South Florida this week with our Wealth and Poverty Desk to focus on the new American dream as President Obama begins his second term. And like it or not, part of the American dream is about consumerism, the ability to save money and buy the things that you want. Which brings us to one of Florida's most popular tourist attractions. It's called Sawgrass Mills, and it is an outlet mall that draws millions of tourists every year. Here's reporter Kenny Malone.
Perhaps the Sawgrass Mills effect is best boiled down to this sound. These are the wheels of a tiny purple piece of carry-on luggage, luggage that's being tugged around by Rubens Acevedo, a lieutenant colonel with the Brazilian Army who has been shopping for hours.
Sneakers? This one's from Nike. I just bought a few minutes ago, and I changed it to start using to get it softer.
Acevedo says buying the same shoes in Brazil would cost 50% more because of taxes.
Not only sneakers, but even the clothes are much cheaper.
Dolls, mugs, video games, all cheaper, all part of the Acevedo family's shopping spree. Ruben's wife, Adriana, admits,
too much. We've bought here 4 new luggage to go to Brazil.
This is quintessential Sawgrass Mills, to buy so much stuff that you have to buy new luggage to get it all home.
Well, it has created new meaning for the word attraction in Florida.
Nikki Grossman runs the Convention and Visitors Bureau in Fort Lauderdale. She has numbers that show twice as many visitors travel here to shop as they do to sightsee. It's even higher for South American visitors who she always knew wanted to spend winters here.
We didn't know that they intended to do it inside with a big old shopping bag instead of a bathing suit.
Greg Goodman is president of The Mills, a subsidiary of the Simon Property Group. He says travel agencies package entire tours around Sawgrass Mills. And the difference, he says, compared to other destination malls.
We're all about the shopping. We have very little in the way of entertainment. We don't have a theme park in the middle of the project. You know, we're really what our general manager likes to call power shopping.
One word of warning, by the way, to prospective power shoppers. Sawgrass Mills has like 11,000 parking spots. Something I learned the hard way.
And I cannot find my car. Somewhere in the Sawgrass Mills parking lot in Sunrise, Florida, I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace. Okay.
Coming up, what has LeBron James done for South Florida's economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. By Emerald Data Solutions, whose Board Docs web applications are designed to help governing bodies operate more effectively by eliminating paper and streamlining board packet processes. BoardDocs.com. And by the Economic Development Authority of Fairfax County, Virginia, home to creative people and creative solutions at powerofideas.org.
Miami is asking itself a question right now that's familiar to many cities. Is it worth it to spend public money upgrading a sports arena in the hopes that the economic benefits will outweigh the costs? That question is not new to Doug Hanks of the Miami Herald, who met us outside of the arena where LeBron James and the Miami Heat play.
You have the Heat, which operates in a government-owned facility. You have the Marlins that play in a very new, gorgeous baseball park owned by Miami-Dade County. Then you have the Dolphins, who play in a privately owned stadium that they own. And they are now saying, listen, we need help. We want government to go have these with us, and let's get a new stadium.
All right, let's talk about the Heat for a second. This arena has been here since 2000.
Correct.
As you look around us right now, do you see economic development that came as a result of this place?
Probably not. I mean, what we're looking around here, we see a lot of high-rise condo towers.
Right.
No doubt they were parking lots at the start of the 2000 decade. What caused this to happen was people realizing they could make millions selling condominiums to investors, to speculators. Those condos are now full, and you were for sure seeing a revival of downtown Miami, which has corresponded with the rise of American Airlines Arena and the Heat.
Now, if you want to actually go to a game here,
yes,
you're going to plop down hundreds of dollars probably.
Yeah. I did it last week, and I got decent seats. behind the basket, and it cost me like $250 a piece. But the Heat definitely gets support from all parts of the city.
All parts of the city, all income levels?
No question. I was at an unemployment office interviewing people, and I was interviewing this woman who was an usher at this arena, the American Airlines Arena, and she was talking about how much money she had saved up to purchase the championship ring for the Heat.
So there's an intangible benefit here across the city of pride and sort of just happiness.
Correct, which in fact in the Heat's economic impact study, they do put a value on it. It's like $30 million or something for civic pride.
So net-net, does it balance out as a benefit for the city?
Well, I think the question is, you know, what kind of city does not have a professional basketball team?
You're not seen as a top-tier city without something like this, you're saying?
Correct. And I think Miami really aspires to be seen as a top-tier city. It's seen as the place where the fabulous come to play and live, and to have the hottest athlete in sports say on television with much drama, "I'm going to bring my talents to South Beach." That really plays into what is Miami's pitch to the world, which is, listen, we're a hot city, we're sophisticated, this is where the celebrities come to play. That's what LeBron James really brings to Miami.
Doug Hanks, business reporter for the Miami Herald, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we couldn't very well come to Miami without talking about its nightlife, which, if you turn on the radio, starts around 10 a.m. and ends the next morning at 9 a.m., or as one of the city's most famous musicians tells us... At WLRN in Miami, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.